Yahasin is the Diné or Navajo Nation duo of Janina and Clayson Benally. For 3 decades, sister and brother have recorded and toured to bring their empowering music to communities throughout North America and Europe. This is Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out, delighted to be introducing Yahasin to the Telluride Bluegrass audience. The duo performs Friday, June 17th, on the main stage of Telluride Bluegrass alongside Green Sky Bluegrass, Tyler Childs, Molly Tuttle, Little Smokies, Tim O'Brien, Rising Appalachia, and Quick Kitchen Dwellers. Hear with your ears, but listen with your heart, as the Ramones suggested. Hi, guys. Thanks for joining me.
Hey there. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So, Clayson, let's start with the basics. What does Yahasin mean, and why did you two choose the name?
Yahasin is a Navajo word. It's part of our cultural philosophy. It's ingrained into our identity, and it means to have hope. And Janita and I, we grew up in a region in Black Mesa, Big Mountain, northern Arizona, where we grew up in a land dispute, and there's a lot of challenges that we faced, and I think a lot of people aren't necessarily aware of the historical traumas that Indigenous people face. So for me, you know, trying to find hope in the adversity, the challenges that we face, and try to transform that into something positive. I think that's where we kind of came together and formed Yahasin.
Okay. Now, you, Janita, please talk about the journey from Blackfire, your original group, to Yahasin, and your connection with the Ramones and with Jackson Browne.
So with Blackfire, we started off being like really angry, justifiably angry at the world that we saw around us, the prejudices that existed, and the environmental degradation. So we decided that, you know, it just kind of changed. Like something in us changed, becoming parents and such, where we decided that we wanted to create music that would bring hope, that would hopefully inspire youth to know how beautiful this world is, and that youth are possible, like they are possibility, and that this world is possibility. So that was kind of this transition, but we also were really, the Ramones were a huge influence for us as Blackfire and as Yahasin as well. They really helped to shape our sound. And then Jackson Browne, he's my godfather, and I've been very blessed to have him, as part of our life, as well as the Ramones. And I know it seems like different worlds. People are always like, wait a minute, okay. But, you know, it's all music from the heart. And that's what's important, is that this is all music that is, like, authentic music. No matter how many BPMs it is, it all comes from the heart.
Great. Wonderful answer. Thank you for that. Clayson, back to you. Please describe the roots of Navajo music and its sound.
For me, with my sister, we're very blessed that our father, Joan Spinelli, he's a traditional Navajo practitioner. So growing up with him, we'd be going to ceremonies, and a lot of our healers, they're recognized as Hatasi. The word Hatasi means to sing. So if somebody is sick or out of balance, and you'd go, you know, there's different stages, but when you have a singing over you, you're having a ceremony to restore your balance. But there's so many different styles of singing. Some are ceremonial, and usually as Yahasin or as Blackfire, you know, we only primarily stick with social songs, songs that are allowed to be shared with the public. And for me, that's so much of our foundation, just having that rhythm, the indigenous elements. We also incorporate some of the intertribal powwow styles and songs. But for me, like the drum, being a drummer, just being able to connect with the drum, the rhythm, even horses, it's like a whole story and a different way of telling a story. So that's something that I feel very blessed to be able to bring and share those experiences with the rest of the world.
Okay, thank you for that. So now, how would you sum up, Janita, how would you sum up Yahasin's sound, My understanding is the Hudson's features Navajo sounds mixed in with punk backbones plus elements of folk, rock, world music, and pop. How do we sum up
our sound? You know, it's such a good question, even for us. And I'll tell you that the punk comes from the raw energy that exists. The folk aspect comes from the storytelling that exists within our songs and within our performances. I think the pop comes from that we want people to dance. We want people to feel invigorated. And the world music, well, that's just genre bending. You know, mm-hmm. I think that we really try to incorporate who we are, our experiences, and our story as well into our music. And so I think that that's kind of our sound. It's our sound is truly our authentic identity.
Okay, great. Now, both of you, I understand, will answer the next question. But let's start with you, Clayson. Would you describe yourselves as artist first, then activist, or the other way around? It sounds like a social agenda underlines your repertoire. Do your lyrics come down to social and environmental justice? And if you feel like giving me an example or giving our listeners an example, go ahead and sing. So, Clayson, begin with how would you describe yourself?
Yeah, this is such a good question because I know I personally am not a career activist. You know, I love my family. I love my community. I love the world that surrounds me. And growing up, you know, that's just part of the, I think, as an Indigenous person, you know, mm-hmm. understanding the balance, the ceremonies, the songs that interrelate with our natural world. Every animal has a song. Every, you know, region around me has a name. So just having that representation. And my grandmother, Roberta Black Goat, she was from the Big Mountain Black Mesa area. She always would remind me that our voice, you know, that you have a voice and that you have to speak out. You have to talk on behalf of our Mother Earth. So having that responsibility, you know, for me, it's not a burden. It's just something that as humans, you know, we have that capacity and we should use our voice. So it's not just a role that kind of different hats that we play. Art, you know, it's part of life, you know, it's a way of communicating. So being able to bridge and bring my voice to whatever emotions I feel. And if there's an issue or something that's happening in this world and I feel that I need to speak out about it, you know, I feel there's a harmony, there's a balance that it brings peace to myself, you know, just being able to write about this, you know, because some of these things can be overwhelming when we think of climate change or the war in Ukraine or all these things that are happening currently, you know, it's heavy on our heart. So how do we, you know, what is our capacity and how do we fill that void? Sometimes, you know, it's whether it's just being able to support, you know, I foster dogs. I do a lot of advocacy and outreach for wild horses. You know, here we're in the Southwest where we're impacted by extreme drought. So trying to find that balance and find fulfillment in life, you know, that's the struggle I think that we all face. So I'm fortunate that I have music as that tool.
Great.
I just kind of want to echo that. Yeah, that like it's hard to separate the artist and the activist. I think it's just, you know, I'm a human being who loves this world, and I love the commonalities, but I also really love the differences and the adventure of finding those differences. And the unique beauty within each of that. And so that's what really drives me in terms of whether I'm being an activist, an actionist, an artivist, or an artist, is that it's all connected. And, you know, I always feel like I'm writing love songs. I've got to tell you, I always feel like I'm writing love songs. And it's because, yes, people may say that they're social justice songs or they're about the environment, that they're songs about taking action, but they're songs because I love our community. I love our global community. So those are my love songs.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And I guess we'll save the examples for the bluegrass stage. So,
please come and check us out on the bluegrass stage.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So now let's pedal back a bit and talk about your childhood and growing up in Benally. Your father is a Diné medicine man and your mom a singer and songwriter. How did their particular pedigrees influence your young lives and lead to your chosen profession? So start, Clayson, pick up that ball.
Yeah, this is interesting because as an Indigenous youth, I think we're always conflicted. We're trying to find that balance of what is, you know, there's a traditional world for sure, and then there's a modern contemporary world. And I see this struggle, you know, in so many youth, you know, trying to find their place in this world. For me, you know, it's like having that foundation, that cultural foundation as a Diné, like that backbone. That's why I'm a drummer, you know, just being able to bring that rhythmic concept or bring, you know, there's a lot of history and so much within that Diné aspect. And our mother, who's a folk singer, songwriter, she basically grew up in the Greenwich Village, you know, pre-Dylan, and just the people that she connected with, her friends, the people that influenced her. I've been fortunate that I've gotten to meet a lot of them, and they've become my mentors and people that have kind of given guidance, you know, like people like Taj Mahal, just Richie Havens. You know, there's been some amazing people that, you know, I didn't necessarily connect all the dots when I was young. You know, I think my interests were more kind of in punk or whatever was contemporary, you know, in my my youth. So then, you know, I think the circle kind of interconnects, you know, and once again, music, it breaks down all boundaries, and it's a connector. You know, it's something that defines our history, it shares, and, you know, as an Indigenous person, you know, our oral stories, our oral traditions, it's all kept within songs. And I find myself, you know, being able to have these experiences where I hear these stories, I hear this history, the birth of rock and roll, meeting these people and knowing that lineage, that pedigree, yeah, and how it plays out in my life, and be able to share that story and some of that wisdom and knowledge with coming up generations. So it's for me, it's like totality. You know, there's a completion of a circle it's a really beautiful circle, very diverse, very unique. You know, you think of like New Orleans and the different styles and sounds, you know, like, you know, connecting and working with people like Cyril Neville, and then learning about the histories of the fusion between Indigenous cultures and people that had been taken as slaves from Africa, and that unique fusion that happened and how that became like the bedrock for rock and roll and the extensions, the different cultures, and then traveling the world and meeting all these different indigenous cultures and seeing how their sounds, their styles all develop, and being able to hear this story and this history. It's an encyclopedia of the world in our history, and it's a lot to kind of take in and try to remember, because so many people, you know, we're losing all these beautiful elders that carry that wisdom and that knowledge, but, you know, it's this next generation that's got to carry that forward.
And you?
I want to ask
how
real, yeah, yeah, just a little bit about growing up at Benally. So imagine, if you will, singing traditional Diné songs over a patient all night long, you know, singing these songs that have carried our ancestors, you know, and the vibrancy and the health of our culture and why our culture still exists today. But imagine singing these all night long, these beautiful songs with your father, and then hopping in your pickup truck. And we were like really little then, not having a radio because we lived so remotely that we'd have to sing all the way going into town and ending up at, you know, backstage at concerts of rock and folk and blues legends, and watching them the next night, how they play and hanging out with them. That was kind of like how we grew up, is in what people would consider these two different worlds, but it was really normal for us that song is important, that song is healing, that even if we were, you know, at a family friend's concert, you know, watching how the audience would react was just like watching the ceremony that took place the night before of how it was uplifting and healing someone. So that's how we kind of, that's how we grew up, with understanding and being influenced that voice, song is powerful, and it is medicine to whomever needs it.
What a wonderful answer. Thank you both for that. And finally, what are you most excited about coming to the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, and what do you hope the Telluride Bluegrass audience of Festivarians will take away?
Oh, this is an exciting question, because growing up in the Southwest, everybody knows and loves the Telluride Bluegrass Festival. And so just being able to perform on a stage with so many incredible artists is going to be wonderful. And we're coming out of the pandemic. It's for us, we're reemerging out of our isolation that was impacted so hard. So we're excited to play music, to have fun, to hopefully we want to bring that traditional indigenous roots music to the bluegrass stage.
Okay. Janita hit it right on the head right there. Just for us, we come from the Colorado Plateau. You know, we're children, youth of this region, and just to be able to share and be able to bring our history, our experiences, and share some of our culture. I think we'll be also dancing and sharing the children's zone. So there's just too much excitement for me. I'm going to be there with my family, and we've got so many friends just looking forward to reconnecting, you know, rising Appalachia, and just there's too much. It's T-Ride, you know, you can't go wrong. It's in the Rockies, and this is an extension. We'll be traveling later to Peru, going up into, I don't know if we're going into the Andes, but for me, it's like kind of an extension of a mountain tour here. So it's just beautiful, and I look forward to celebrating with everybody.
And we look forward to hearing you. Once again, this has been Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Sahasin, which is Janita, and Clayson Benali. They will be on stage again. It's Friday night, June 17th, along with Green Sky, Tyler Childs, Molly Tuttle, Little Smokies, Tim O'Brien, Rising Appalachia, and Kitchen Dwellers. You guys, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule to talk with me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. See you soon.
All right. Go, Nat.